Ryan's opening prayer for our service today. This is a difficult time for everyone, but particularly the Hines family, the Wilhelms, who are just completely interwoven. There's the marriage, the family that came from them, all those children who are suffering grief at this time. I have to say, brethren, you know, I've been the pastor of the Front Range congregations now for just over a year, and wow, it has been an incredible year. Our first weekend of getting to be shepherding this area was Pentecost weekend of 2021, and there was immediately an outbreak of COVID with incredible sickness and that eventually led to loss. Over the last few years, we've lost many loved ones. Of course, most recently, we lost Lorna. Brethren, there's no way that we are not in grief. We have suffered it over this last year, but this week, it is very raw and it's fresh. Very recently, we lost Faye James, Dick Meese, Mark Dominguez, Inga Stahl, Gail Wolstenholme, Melanie Quick, the mother of Heather Wilhelm, Tony Dominguez, Matthew Novak. And of course, there's others who have lost family members. We have the brother of Cindy Schuyler. We have the son-in-law of the Mapes family who passed away not long after the feast. There's just so many that we've lost. And in such a short period of time. And so, brethren, there's not, I think, anyone in our congregations who has not been impacted and affected over these last couple of years, but also very intensively over the last 12 months. There's been a lot of grief in a very short period of time. And so, brethren, when I had planned on speaking this week, it was going to be in Frisco, and had no idea that things were going to take place and happen as they have this week. But I feel like we have to talk about this. We have to address it. We have to understand that grieving is a part of the healing process. God created us to grieve over loss, over the death of his precious saints. We grieve, I think, the loss of time, especially when there is an unexpected death that seems to catch us out of nowhere. We realize that we're not going to have any more time, that we've lost opportunities to be with them, to say things that maybe we were looking forward to, the things that we might have been able to do, the things that we would have liked to have said. And so we want more time to live with them, to have life. Today, brethren, I want to speak about what we've gone through and what we are going through, and how God has made us to heal. Grief cannot be skipped over. We can't pack it away or bury it deep inside or act like it's not there, or like an acid, it will just eat away at us. We cannot avoid death or loss. It is just as much a part of life as breathing. We are given a short period of time on this earth before the possibility of eternal life. But healing can begin. You've heard the old saying, time heals all wounds. And I believe in part that that is true. But it's not just time. It's not just the ticking away of hours and days that makes things not hurt so bad. But it is rather what we do with that time. It is the life we live in the time that we have. We need life to heal our grief. Brethren, Christ himself said in John 14, he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." That's what you and I have been called into. That's one of the answers which we can give, as we heard about in the sermonette, when we are questioned, when we don't grieve as others who have no hope of the resurrection, of a future, of life, of being reunited with those whom are now asleep, who are resting and not just in non-existence, but in the hope and the promise of the reward that will be given. Brethren, God's plan from the very beginning, his purpose in creating the universe, his entire plan of salvation is life, and the life that he would give in the family that he will build. From the moment of conception in a physical world to being born into God's family, God's purpose has always been life. In our country, in just the last couple of weeks, there has been a pushback on the sanctity of life in the revoking of Roe v. Wade. There is a pushback. People are realizing just how precious life is and when it actually begins. Brethren, it was from the beginning that God created life. Genesis 2 and verse 7. Genesis 2 and verse 7. This is again with creation. "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." Brethren, that is truly the most amazing part of God's creation, that he took dirt, dust. You know, this is that word, you know, dust is kind of a useless substance. It's not even like topsoil or good earth. But out of it, look what he made. Man formed in his own image. And we are given, we are animated and live this life. In verse 8, "The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground, the Lord God made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, that our lives may be fed, may be nourished, that we may grow. Now the tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, as well as the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." Brethren, the tree of life was established in the beginning with the creation. It was right there. It was always an option. But beside the tree of life was also the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And he told them, "Don't eat of it, or you will die." Now Adam and Eve were given a choice, but they didn't choose the tree of life. Instead, as we know, Eve was deceived. They heard lies from the father of lies, Satan. And it was through that deception, through those lies, and eventually by Adam's own choice, that death entered in. We're told in Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, "Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men, because all have sinned." That's truly what happened, was they chose to go against God. And mankind has been doing that ever since. But that is a part of life. It's given to all men to live about 70 years, and then there is death. To the very righteous, they may receive even more. Look at those whom we have lost that have been in their 80s over the last year. Lorna, 76. They have set an incredible example of how to live life. See, death was not part of the creation. When God created the sun, the moon, and the stars, the heavens and the earth, and all that are on it. But then God didn't create sin either. Death is the enemy of life. Just as there is no such thing as darkness, and we think of, well, what is darkness? Well, it's just the absence of light. Death, brethren, is the absence of life. And there is coming a day when God the Father will rule over all the earth. And we are told in 1 Corinthians that the last enemy that will be destroyed is death. Death will be done away with. There'll be no more death. No more grief, no more tears, no more sufferings. Brethren, that is the plan of God, that there will only be light and life. That is what we look forward to. Brethren, the entirety of the Bible is an exhortation to follow God, to make our own personal choice between which tree we're going to eat of. Will we eat of the tree of life? Will we choose life? This is what was set before the children of Israel by Moses. In Deuteronomy 30 and verse 19, it's Deuteronomy 30 and verse 19, he stood before the children of Israel after giving them the laws. And he said, I call heaven and earth as witness today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and cursings. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live. And that's not just to survive. That's to thrive, brethren. This life that we have been called into, the hope that we are given, that we're supposed to have an answer for, that we understand why we are alive, that's what we get to share. Brethren, we have the example of those whom we have lost because they chose life. They chose of the tree of life. Christ in John, verse 10, chapter 10, and verse 9 said this, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. You know, this is truly a speaking of that we are his sheep. And I think of Psalms 23, that he has led us to a good life, not without suffering or trials because we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, but we're told not to fear because he is with us. In verse 10, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. That is Satan. Just as he did with Adam and Eve at the very beginning, he tries to do that with all of mankind, to take away life. But Christ said, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Abundantly, that we may be comforted. That we may believe and have hope and encouragement, not just for ourselves, but for those who have come before. Brethren, that is what we see by those who have set the example already, whether it was Lorna or one of the others that we've lost. They lived their lives full of faith and love and service. They had lives well lived. You see the joy in the service. How many of you remember Tony Dominguez and his wife dancing around and smiling and encouraging others? No matter what trials they were going through or the things that were going on in the world about them. That's an example of living life more abundantly. We're told in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2, to set your mind on the things above, not on the things on the earth. What happens when we just look at the news all day? When we see the things that are coming up and, you know, they say if it bleeds, it leads. And that's what the news is all about. It brings us down. It discourages us. It robs us of the joy of life. So we set our mind on the things above, not on the things on this earth. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. This is what gives us life and hope. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Brethren, that's a promise that we can count on. You know, Titus talks about eternal life with God, who cannot lie, and he has promised this before time began. This is a part of his plan from the foundation of the earth, knowing that sin would eventually happen, that we would not choose, that there would be death, but in that human death, there would be life, eternal life. Brethren, something else that helps heal grief, again with life, is new life, new beginnings. It strikes me that in just a few days, last week, I talked with Lorna about a great many things. And last Saturday night, we were all gathered together, the Hines family and the Wilhelm family, for a new life, a new spiritual life, with the baptism of Chris Wilhelm. Chris entered into a new spiritual life and with baptism, and we are told that is to be born again, to become a babe in Christ, having received God's Holy Spirit. That happened, this newness and freshness of life happened right as Lorna was finishing her spiritual race. We just didn't know it. That is one of the things which heals, is new life, a new beginning. I think of the story of the son of promise, of Isaac, who was born to Abraham and Sarah after truly more than a lifetime of not being able to have that new beginning, of that promise of life. And God gave them a child when it was impossible, long after they should have been able to have children. Sarah gave birth to a baby boy, a boy of promise who was named Laughter. And then as Isaac grew, again, Sarah was not created to live forever. And so his mother died. And Isaac was distraught, as his father was. But Isaac needed to have a future too. There needed to be the fulfillment of the promise that Abraham would be the father of nations, and it would happen through this child, this son. And so they went about finding a bride, a new person to enter into the family. And God brought them Rebekah. In Genesis 24 and verse 67, it says, and Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent. This is truly bringing her home to the tent that he was raised in, to where he was a baby, where he was nursed and taught to walk and to speak and to live. And he took Rebekah and she became his wife. And he loved her. They started a life together. And so Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. That grief that he had, what brought him comfort and healing, was now new life. An expectation of what is to come and a hope of a future. That just as his mother had him, he would now have children. And through him, her life would live on. The things that he was taught. Her legacy of faith. Brethren, look at the legacy of faith in the congregation in Denver. Look around and see the lives that are still there. Those that aren't necessarily children, but look at all those Heinz and Wilhelm children. All those little heads and big eyes and bright smiles. Life. There will be a future. Life will continue. There will be more babies born. There will be more marriages. There will be more baptisms. And a fulfilling of God's promise. Brethren, we've been given the gift of life. Right now. With the potential of eternal life. We want to have a life well lived. And that means we have to grab a hold of it. To take action. To live it to the fullest. I truly believe that's one of the things which made David a man after God's own heart. Is he lived life to the fullest. Brethren, we need to see the hard parts of life as opportunities, as challenges to be overcome and conquered, something that we can rejoice in a job well done and in overcoming, in going forward and building more. You know, that's one of the things I think of with Lorna. That woman could work. She was always building, always teaching, always helping. You know, the thing that she was last doing was working in her garden, growing, watching life grow and nurturing it and tending it. This is what God has given us to do, not just physically, but spiritually. The calling that we have been given, brethren, is so much greater than just surviving. The Gospel of Luke chapter 10, Christ was sending his disciples out. In Luke 10 and verse 19, he said, "Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." You know, that is giving them a confidence to go forward, to answer the questions. To be the example and a light unto the world. And he says, "Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, not in the fact that you've been given strength and power, but that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." Because we've been selected and chosen, a precious few, to live this life knowing the promises of God. Brethren, we can have our names written in the book of life now. But we have to choose it just as those who have come before us. Just as this group of examples that we have. As well as those who are listed in the Word of God. An example of that is in Philippians. Paul writes in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 3. Chapter 4 and verse 3, he says, "I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel." These are fellow saints, servants, disciples. "With Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers, laborers, servants, whose names are in the book of life. Brethren, that's the service which we render one to another. Brethren, who will take up the calling? Who will serve like Lorna? Who set an incredible example? Who will teach us to dance like Tony? Who showed us joy in the dance, in the life, regardless of loss, regardless of sufferings, that life is beautiful, that there is a future and a hope. Take up that calling, brethren. Because we have life and we have it right now. And God has promised it to us. So what promises are made to us? Again, let's look at the Gospel of John. John chapter 5. This is Christ speaking to his disciples. John chapter 5. And we'll look at verse 24. Again, John chapter 5 and verse 24. Christ says, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life." Brethren, that's having the fear of death removed. Think of what we can do with our lives when we're not afraid. When we're not afraid of what may happen. Then we can truly live. Verse 25. "Most assuredly, I say to you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God. And those who hear will live." Again, this is the plan of God. "For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this. For the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life. And those who've done evil to the resurrection of condemnation." Brethren, this is what we are given. This promise of life, both now and forever. Brethren, that tree of life that was in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve, it is and always will be, and it will be from the beginning to the end. As we read Revelation, we understand that this is a book of prophecy that was revealed to John, and he wrote it down for us so that we may know. Revelation 2 and verse 7. Revelation 2 and verse 7. "He who has an ear, let him hear." These are the words which we may believe, which we may take comfort in. "Let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." That's to all of us. "To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life." Brethren, that is that which is in the midst of the paradise of God. This is even better than the Garden of Eden, brethren. This is in God's kingdom. The tree of life is there. It is, will be given to his children. We just have to finish the fight. We have to run the race. That's there for us, brethren. The tree of life. That which was first offered in the beginning, the tree that Adam and Eve did not partake of. And it was removed. It's there waiting for us. But not only for us, but for every person that has ever lived. They will be given the opportunity to take it, to choose life. And that, brethren, should give everyone hope. Not just those who have the opportunity today, but then, in the future, those who've never heard, who've never known the hope that we are given. Revelation 22. We turn back just a little further, truly, to almost the very end of the book. This is what we are looking for. This is what those who are now asleep, those who are now in the grave and are awaiting their reward, this is what we are given, this vision of the future and life. Revelation 22 and verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life. You know, I think of the old country western song, you know, of pure, clear and clean water to a world who is dying of thirst, who is parched and dry, desolate and barren. He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, and is proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb, which is Christ. In the middle of its street and on either side of the river was the tree of life. In the middle of the street and on either side of the river, this is great and expansive covering. And it bore 12 fruits. Each tree yielding its fruit every month. A tree that doesn't come in and out of season. It's continual. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. This is for all the peoples of the earth. In verse 3, and there shall be no more curse. No more death, brethren. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. Remember, brethren, no more darkness, no more death. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. This is eternal life, brethren. And then he said to me, these words are faithful and true. This is what we hope for. But now, brethren, we're here and we have been given a life, but we also grieve over the lives that we don't have anymore. Brethren, we need to share our grief. Talk about it. And in doing so, we also share our hope. We comfort one another. We carry one another. William Shakespeare, in his tragic play called Macbeth, he said, give sorrow words. The grief that does not speak knits over the wrought heart and bids it break. We can't bury it down, brethren. God didn't make us to do that. Precious in the eyes of the Lord are the death of his saints. They're precious to us too, because it was their lives. Let's remember them. Let's talk about the lives well lived. Let's share their stories and take comfort from it. To rejoice in life. Brethren, amongst the Jews, there is a tradition that when they have wine, they give a toast. Some of you may have heard this from the old play or movie, Fiddler on the Roof. They would say, L'chaim, which in Hebrew means to life. And they would toast it. They would raise their glasses and they would say, L'chaim, to life. Brethren, let's follow the example of the lives well lived. Let's share their stories as we gather together, as we talk, as we feast together, as we eat and drink, that they may encourage us. Because, brethren, God's tree of life exists. And with it, someday he will heal all wounds, all grief and all tears. And we look forward to that, brethren. So, brethren, to Lorna, to Faye, to Tony and Inga, to Melody and Matthew, to all of those who are waiting for their reward, to life, brethren, L'chaim.